We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Episode 7, The Four Suspects.
This is Inspector Vosper speaking. Mr. Temple, listen, don't leave the Manila Club. Sir Graham's on his way over. He wants to see you.
What is it, Vosper? Is anything wrong?
It's Maura Portland, sir. She's dead.
Dead?
Yeah. We found the body about 20 minutes ago.
Where did you find her?
In a flat just off the Charing Cross Road.
What flat?
Chris Boyer's.
I see. Well, thanks for letting me know, Vosper. I'll talk to Sir Graham when he arrives.
Who was it on the phone, darling?
It was a message from Sir Graham. He wants to see me.
Tonight?
Yes, he's calling in here. Boyer, when did you last see Maura Portland?
This afternoon. Why do you ask?
I wondered, that's all.
Look here, Temple. I think it's about time I took you into my confidence. What's your honest opinion of me?
Well,
Come along. Let's be frank about it. You've met me several times. We spent the weekend together down at Hubert Green's place.
The first time I met you, I thought you were a nit-witted young man who danced divinely. Now I'm not so sure.
What are you not so sure about? My dancing?
No, that you are nit-witted. I've an idea that you're playing a part, and playing it very well, if I may say so.
You may say so, and how right you are. And if it affords you any personal satisfaction, you're the first person that's spotted it. Before the war, I was an actor. I did 4 years with the Weekly Rep Company and 2 years in the West End. When the war broke out, I went into the Fleet Air Arm. I was demobbed in 1945.
Go on.
I came back to the theatre brimming with enthusiasm. After 18 months, I was eventually offered the part of a butler in a French farce. I had two lines. I stuck it for the best part of 12 months, and then one night I decided to change my tactics. I'd always been a good dancer, and to be frank, women were never exactly allergic to me. The rest you can imagine.
Yes.
And how does Maura Portland fit into the picture?
She doesn't.
What do you mean?
I broke off our engagement this afternoon. You see, Temple, I quite enjoy playing the part of a gigolo, but...
But you don't like to be called one, at least not to your face.
Exactly.
Is that the real reason why you broke off your engagement with Miss Portland?
What other reason could I have?
The fact that she takes drugs.
When did you discover that?
I guessed it, the night she pretended to be drunk.
I don't know why, but Moira's changed a great deal during the past few months. She seems worried and almost frightened at times.
Have you any idea what she's frightened about?
No, I haven't. But curiously enough, Chunky Brooks must have noticed something. He asked me a great many questions about Moira, and he spoke to Eileen Green about her as well. That was the significance of the remark, the one that Green overheard. I wanted to have a word with Eileen about it and simply said, "We'll have to talk about this, Eileen. I'll meet you later tonight."
And did you meet her?
Of course not. She was murdered, you know that.
You said just now that Hubert Green overheard your remark. How do you know it was Green?
You said so.
No, I didn't. I simply said your remark was overheard.
I took it for granted it was Green.
Oh, here's Sir Graham.
Hello, Sir Graham.
Did you get my message, Temple?
Yes, I've just been speaking to Vosper.
Has anything happened, Sir Graham?
Yes. There's been a new development. Boye, I'm afraid I've got some very bad news for you.
What is it? Is it Moira?
Yes. She's committed suicide.
Oh, how horrible.
I was afraid of that. What time did she do it?
About 8 o'clock this evening. What did you mean just now when you said I was afraid of that?
Moira's been acting very strange lately. She's been terribly overwrought and at times quite impossible to talk to. I was talking to Temple about it only a few moments ago.
Mr. Boyer was saying that he'd just broken off his engagement.
Oh? When did that happen?
This afternoon.
Was Miss Portland upset?
We were both upset. It wasn't exactly a pleasant afternoon.
Where did you see Miss Portland?
At her flat. I arrived about 3:15 and left just after 4.
Did anyone else call on her while you were there?
No, but there was a telephone call.
Who was it? Do you know?
Yes, it was Mrs. Portland.
Did you hear the conversation?
Part of it. They seem to be making an appointment to see each other.
I'd like to see Mrs. Portland.
She's here, Sir Graham.
What, here at the Manila?
Yes, we were talking to her only a few minutes ago. She's in the cocktail bar.
Good. Boye, would you mind asking Mrs. Portland if she can spare me a moment?
Very well.
Oh, dear. That poor girl. Why do you think she did it, Sir Graham? Because Boyer broke off the engagement?
I don't think the engagement had anything to do with it. I may be wrong, of course.
I agree with you, Sir Graham. I don't think it has either. According to Boyer, she's been desperately worried for some little time now.
Did he tell you why she was worried?
No.
She's been taking drugs. Did you know that?
Yes.
Why did you want to talk to Mrs. Portland, Sir Graham?
A woman visited Moira this afternoon just after Boyer left her. From the description we've received, it sounds remarkably like Mrs. Portland.
Well, that rather ties up with the phone call, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, Temple, I've been doing quite a lot of thinking, and it seems to me that we've got four first-class suspects in the Madison mystery.
We may have four suspects, Sir Graham, but there's only one Mr. Madison.
Who are the four? Stella Portland, Hubert Green, George Kelly?
And Chris Boyer.
But you both said that you didn't think he had anything to do with Moira committing suicide.
No, we don't think the broken engagement had anything to do with it.
Exactly.
Yes, but if he deliberately did that this afternoon...
Yes, Mrs. Portland.
She looks upset.
Boyer must have told her.
Sir Graham, is this true, what Chris just told me about Moira?
Yes, I'm afraid it is, Mrs. Portland.
Oh, the stupid, silly girl. Whatever made her do it, I told her that...
Mrs. Portland, when did you last see your stepdaughter?
I beg your pardon?
When did you last see your stepdaughter?
Oh, several days ago. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen her since the weekend.
Are you sure?
Whatever do you mean? Of course I'm sure.
You haven't seen Miss Portland since the weekend?
No.
You didn't visit her this afternoon?
No, I didn't. I've told you, I haven't seen her for several days.
Have you spoken to her on the telephone?
No, I... Yes. Yes, I have. I spoke to her this afternoon.
Did she ring you, or did you...
No, I rang her. I wanted to arrange a luncheon date.
Did you arrange it?
Yes, for next Friday.
Mrs. Portland, you must forgive me if I ask you a rather personal question.
I'm getting quite used to personal questions, Sir Graham.
How did you get on with your stepdaughter?
I got on quite well with her. I don't expect you to believe that. I don't expect anyone to believe it, but the fact remains that I did.
I see.
When we first met, we took an instant dislike to one another. Then gradually, things began to change. I think she realized that...
Realized what, Mrs. Portland?
That I was a friend and not an enemy.
Had she many enemies?
I should ask Mr. Boyer that question. After all, he was her fiancé.
Boyer broke off the engagement this afternoon.
Oh.
Didn't you know that?
No, I didn't.
What was Moira like on the phone? Did she sound worried or depressed at all?
No more than usual. Frankly, she hadn't a lot to say. I had the impression that there was someone with her.
Boyer said that he was with her, Mrs. Portland.
Oh, I see.
Have you any idea why she committed suicide?
No, I haven't, unless she was terribly upset about what happened this afternoon.
You mean it was the breaking of her engagement?
Yes.
You can't think of any other reason why she should have taken her life?
No. No, I can't.
You don't sound very convincing, Mrs. Portland.
Charlie?
Haven't you got your key?
I've got it somewhere, but where on earth did I put it?
I can't understand why Charlie doesn't come.
He's probably in bed.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what on earth's the matter with Charlie these days. He seems to deliberately go out of his way.
Ah, we thought you'd gone on your holidays, Charlie.
What, me? I had my holidays in August.
It was such a long time answering the door.
Oh.
That was on account of Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Kelly?
Yes, I was in the bathroom, sir. Helping him to tidy up.
Mr. Kelly?
Don't keep on saying Mr. Kelly, darling. What's happened, Charlie? Oh,
Mr. Kelly's had a bit of a rough house. He's been tidying up in the bathroom.
Oh.
Come on, Steve. Let's see what it's all about.
Oh, hello there. Say, I'm glad you're back.
What on earth have you been up to?
You might well ask.
You've torn your shirt.
I've torn darn nearly everything.
You look as if you've been in a fight.
I have, and I got the worst of it.
But what happened?
I don't know what happened. It seemed to me I was hit by a hurricane. One minute I was standing on my feet, the next I was fighting for dear life. Oh, just look at my face. Uncle Sam certainly took an awful beating.
Kelly, I'm not very bright this evening. Supposing you start at the beginning, what are you doing here, anyway?
I wanted to have a talk. I was passing your apartment, so I thought I'd drop in for a few minutes. The elevator was on the top floor, and I rang for it.
Go on.
It came down, and the light wasn't on, so I took it for granted. It was empty.
Well, wasn't it empty?
It certainly was not. Just as I put my hand on the gate, it was thrown open, and wham! For a moment, I just didn't know what had hit me.
You mean to say someone stepped out of the lift and hit you?
No, oh, I certainly did.
But why?
You're asking me. Either the guy was nuts or he just didn't want me to see him. Anyway, we went at it hell for leather. Suddenly, he landed me a real Joe Louis. Oh, what a humdinger. Did I hear music? When I recovered, the guy disappeared.
Would you recognize him again?
No, I don't think I would. You see, we were more or less in the dark, and the whole thing happened so quickly.
I bet you'd like to get your hands on him.
Get my hands on him? I don't want to go near the guy. Look what he's done to me.
All right, Kelly, join us when you're ready. I dare say you can do with the scotch and soda.
And how?
How's that?
Oh, that's dandy. Thanks. That certainly looks good. My, tastes good, too.
You know, Kelly, that's rather a remarkable story of yours.
Remarkable? It's fantastic. If I was in your shoes, I just wouldn't believe a word of it.
When did it happen, exactly?
The fight?
Yes.
About 10 minutes ago. Gee, I wish you and Mrs. Temple had turned up 10 minutes earlier.
You're quite sure you wouldn't recognize the man again?
I'm sure. Oh. Say, I wonder if it's any use asking the people up above if they knew him.
There isn't anybody above.
No? What do you mean?
The flat immediately above this belongs to a Major Hartley. He's in Washington. He's sublet it to a man called Eltsek.
Well, maybe this guy was a friend of this Eltsek's.
Eltsek disappeared several days ago. We have reason to believe he was drowned.
Oh. Was he a friend of yours?
Not exactly. Anyway, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Well, you know that brooch, or rather clip, I found? The one I handed over to you this morning?
Yes?
I told you it belonged to Moira Portland.
That's right.
Well, I've been thinking about that. Maybe that was a tactless thing for me to say, in view of the fact I found the brooch very near the spot where Mrs. Green was murdered.
Why tactless?
Well, I don't want to throw suspicion on Moira Portland. I don't want to throw suspicion on anybody.
Don't worry, Mr. Kelly. You won't throw suspicion onto Miss Portland. She's dead.
Who are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. Miss Portland committed suicide.
When?
Tonight.
A young kid like that. Why? Whatever made her do such a stupid thing? For God's sake, what made her do it?
Your guess is as good as mine, Kelly. It might even be better. Excuse me. Hello? Hello? Who is that? Who's there?
Is that you, Temple?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Eltsek.
Dr. Eltsek?
Temple, listen. Yeah, I've got to see you. There's something I must tell you.
What's the matter? What's the matter with you?
I've been beaten up. I...
Eltsek. Eltsek, where are you?
Temple, what is it?
Shh, be quiet. Eltsek, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear, Temple. I want to tell you about Madison. I want to tell you about the cottage at Lockdale.
At Lockdale?
Yes. That's where we were going. The night Madison double-crossed us.
Eltsek, listen. Where are you? Where are you speaking from?
I'm in the flat.
By Timothy.
What is it? What's happened?
Eltsek's been beaten up. He's in the flat above. Come on, Kelly. Follow me.
Is this the flat?
Yes.
Is the door locked?
Yes, we've got to break it down. Come on, Kelly.
Boy, this is some door.
Come on. That's it.
Gee. What's hit this place? There's been a whale of a fight by the looks of things.
Yes.
I don't see any sign of your friend, Eltsek.
He's over here in the bedroom.
Oh? Let's have a look. Certainly being beaten up. Is he?
Yes. We're too late, Kelly.
That's terrible. Temple, you know that character I bumped into? The fellow I told you about, the one who went for me in the elevator?
Yes.
Do you think he's responsible for this? You think he murdered Eltsek?
It's possible. Quite possible. Are you ready?
Yes.
You look very glamorous this morning.
Well, I don't feel very glamorous. Look, have I got to go out this morning?
Yes, Steve, you have. And don't forget what I told you.
Do you really want me to do that?
Yes, I do, Steve.
But it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it, darling? Well, don't let it worry you. What is it, Charlie?
Well, I'm off now, Mr. Temple.
All right, Charlie, have a good time.
Ta. You bet I will, Mr. T.
And where do you think you're going?
I'm having the day off.
Oh, you are you?
That's right. Mr. Temple said it'd be okay.
Oh, he did.
That's right.
It's all right, Charlie, run along.
Okie dokie, Mr. T.
Oh, just see who that is, will you?
Will do, sir.
Now, look here, Paul. I don't know what's going on here this morning, but I intend to know...
There's Inspector Vosbert to see you, Mr. T.
Oh, why, hello, Inspector. Come in.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Mrs. Temple.
Good morning, Inspector. Well, I'm going now, Paul.
Yes, all right, darling. Don't forget what I told you.
I won't.
Well, how did you get on upstairs?
We've turned the place upside down.
Have you found anything?
Frankly, very little of the stuff seems to belong to Eltsek. It's mostly Major Hartley's.
Any fingerprints?
Nothing worth worrying about. But that's not why I wanted to see you, Mr. Temple.
Why did you want to see me?
Are you sure, quite sure, that Eltsek said the cottage at Lockdale?
Yes.
It was Lockdale?
Yes, I'm quite sure it was Lockdale. Why?
Well, we've been turning the village upside down, sir. If there's a cottage down there being used for this counterfeit racket, then by George, we've yet to find it.
Are there many cottages down there?
Only about half a dozen.
Only half a dozen? You must have checked them by now.
Yes, sir, we have. I just don't understand it.
Well, I'm sure Eltsek said Lockdale.
It didn't say Laylam, by any chance, sir.
Laylam? Where's Laylam? Is that on the river?
Which is about 3/4 of a mile from Chertsey.
No, I'm pretty sure he said Lockdale, Inspector.
All right, we'll go on checking. We'll move the whole of Scotland Yard down there if necessary. Mr. Temple, you remember that fellow Mark Kendall, the chap that broke into your flat?
Yes.
I've got a theory about him.
What's that?
Well, I think that Kendall was under the impression that Eltsek was doing a double cross. It's my opinion that he didn't intend to break into your flat that night, but into Eltsek's.
You mean he picked the wrong flat?
Exactly. Don't forget, Eltsek had only moved in the day before.
Yes, I agree with you, Inspector.
And there's another point, Mr. Temple. You remember that explosion on the river?
I shan't easily forget it, Inspector.
Well, I think I know what happened that night. Manderson took a suitcase down to the launch. He told Eltsek it was something for the cottage. In actual fact, it was a time bomb. Manderson wanted to get rid of Eltsek, Alfaro, and the rest of the gang.
In other words, he's going into liquidation.
Exactly.
You may be right, Inspector. If you are...
We've got to move fast.
Fast is hardly the word. We've got to move like greased lightning.
Yes. Mr. Temple, what do you think happened last night?
With Eltsek?
Yes.
I think when Eltsek realized that Madison was trying to double-cross him, he decided to get his own back. He sent for Madison with the intention of letting him have it. Unfortunately for Eltsek and for us too, Madison turned the tables on him.
In other words, Kelly was beaten up by Madison, who was making a getaway after the attack on Eltsek.
Yes.
That's one theory, of course. There is another.
Yes, there is another, Inspector. What time is it?
I'll make it just gone 12.
I think that's George Kelly at the door. Will you excuse me, Inspector?
Oh, I'd like a word with Kelly.
Well, I rather wanted to see him alone.
I can wait.
No, I'd prefer you to see him some other time, if you don't mind.
No, of course not. Are you up to something, Mr. Temple?
What, me? Good gracious, no. Look here, Inspector, I'll take him into my study and you slip out the front door. You can let yourself out all right, can't you?
Oh, yes, of course I can. I say, what's going on here? Why the devil shouldn't I see Kelly?
No reason at all, if you'd really like to see him.
All right, Mr. Temple. You play it your own way.
Thanks, Inspector. Ah, come in, Kelly.
Am I late?
No, no, you're in nice time.
Sorry, I was out when you phoned. I only got your message about an hour ago.
That's all right. I'm glad you could make it. Let's go into my study.
Say... This is some den.
Do you like it?
Yes, sir. Is this where you write all those thrillers?
Well, some of them. Would you like a glass of sherry?
Yeah, I think maybe I would.
This is a bit of dry sherry. I hope you like it.
Can't be too dry for me. Say, you've written some books.
One or two.
You know, funny enough, I've never read one of yours.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about it, Mr. Kelly. Quite a lot of people haven't read any of my books. Here you are.
Thank you. Now, I go in for westerns. You know the sort of thing? Riders Over Arizona, The Sheriff of Melton Creek.
Shades of Zane Grey.
Sure.
Well, your very good health.
Yours too.
Sit down, Kelly. I'll tell you what I wanted to see you about. I've been having a talk to Inspector Vosper. He's got a theory about last night. He thinks that Eltsek was murdered by a man called Madison, and that it was Madison that bumped into you coming out of the lift.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I told you, in my opinion, the guy who murdered Altsek was the bird who knocked the stuffing out of me.
Yes. Well, I'd like you to go down to the yard, Kelly, and look at some photographs.
What sort of photographs?
Oh, just pictures of one or two people. I've got a hunch you might be able to pick him out.
What, the man who attacked me?
Yes.
There's not a hope. I wouldn't recognize him if he walked into this room. I told you, it was dark. I hardly saw the guy.
Nevertheless, I'd like you to have a look at the photographs. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Well, here I am, darling. You told me to ring you up.
Oh, hello, Steve.
Well, don't sound so surprised.
Is anything the matter, darling?
No, of course there isn't anything the matter. Remember, you told me...
Oh, I say, that's too bad. When did it happen?
When did what happen?
Have you tried the starting handle?
Paul, what is this? What are you talking about?
Oh, Steve, you should have tried the starting handle. That's the first thing you should have done. Where are you, darling? Where are you speaking from?
Where do you think I'm speaking from? I'm in the call box at the end of the road.
Good Lord, what an extraordinary place to pick.
What do you mean, what an extraordinary place to pick? You told me to ring you up for...
Look here, Steve, I'd better come down and have a look at you. Go back and sit in the car, darling.
What do you mean, go back and sit in the car? I haven't got the car. I walked down to the box.
Yes, all right, you can try that, but I shouldn't get your hands dirty.
I haven't the slightest intention of... Try what? What are you talking about?
All right, Steve, I'll do that. Shan't be long, darling.
Is anything the matter?
Yes, my wife's having a spot of trouble with the car. Not exactly an unusual occurrence, Mr. Kelly. Look here, would you excuse me if I popped out for 5 or 10 minutes? I'd better give her a hand.
Sure, I'll come with you.
No, I'd rather you didn't. The flat's empty and I'm expecting a call from Scotland Yard.
Do you want me to take it?
I should be very grateful if you would. It'll be Sir Graham Forbes. Tell him I'll see him as arranged, 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay, I'll do that.
I shan't be long.
If you need any help with the car, give me a ring.
I think I know what's wrong with it. The trouble with my wife is she never uses any imagination. I shan't be long, Kelly.
Okay.
If you feel like another glass of sherry, just help yourself.
I might do that. It's very nice.
Kelly, I'm sorry we've been such a long time.
It's okay.
I hope you helped yourself to the sherry.
I nearly started on the whiskey.
You should have done, Mr. Kelly. It would have taught my husband a lesson, leaving you alone in the flat like that.
Did anyone call?
No, and there wasn't a phone call either.
Oh, didn't Sir Graham ring?
No. What was the matter with the car, Mrs. Temple?
Tell him, darling.
You beast. No, you tell him. You'll enjoy it more.
He ran out of petrol.
Oh, that's just too bad.
Come on, Kelly, let's go into the drawing room.
Oh, no... Temple, I'm afraid I got to be making a move. I've got a luncheon date.
Oh, what a pity. Well, look here, Kelly. Would you drop in the yard and have a word with Vosper? I would like you to check on those photographs.
Okay, but I told you it's no use. I'm sure I shouldn't recognize the guy again.
Well, you never know.
Goodbye, Mrs. Temple.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
I'll see you to the lift. When you see Vosper, tell him that you've had a chat to me and that I suggested he showed you a series of photographs. If you can give him some idea of the height of the man who attacked him... Is lunch ready, darling?
It will be in a few minutes.
Oh, you've changed your dress.
Now look here, Paul. Don't you start giving me the runaround.
The runaround?
Yes, the runaround. Now, what's all this about? First of all, you give Charlie the day off, and then you make me go down to the call box and put through a phony phone call. Then you invite Mr. Kelly to the flat and leave him high and dry.
Hardly dry, darling. Don't you know what it's all about?
But of course I don't know what it's all about.
Well, where's that intuition of yours?
You keep my intuition out of this.
Hello?
Is that you, Temple?
Who is that?
This is Hubert Green.
Oh, hello, Green.
Temple, I'm awfully sorry I couldn't make it this morning.
Make it? Make what?
Our appointment.
Appointment? Had we an appointment this morning?
Yes. I got your note last night. You said, would I call round and see you at 12 o'clock this morning?
I did?
Yes.
My dear fellow, I never sent you a note.
But I've got it here, now, in front of me.
I sent you a note
asking me to call round at 12 o'clock this morning, yes. Unfortunately, I was kept at the office and couldn't make it.
But, Green, I never sent you a note. I didn't want you to call round this morning.
But I tell you, I've got the note here in front of me.
Well, you may have this note in front of you, Green. I'm quite prepared to believe that you have. But the fact remains that I didn't send it.
Then who did?
Was it posted?
No, it was delivered by hand.
Who delivered it?
I don't know. I found it in the letterbox.
Is it typewritten?
No, it's handwritten.
Bring it round to the flat this evening. You know my address?
Yes, of course. I say, this is very odd, isn't it, Temple? Why should anyone send me a note like this?
Do as I say, Green. Bring the note round this evening.
Yes, all right, I will. Goodbye, Temple.
Goodbye.
What is it, Paul? What's happened?
Green received a note asking him to call here this morning. He apparently couldn't keep the appointment because he was detained at the office.
Did you send him a note?
No, I didn't.
Then who did? Do you know?
Yes, I've got a very good idea. It's all right, darling. I'll see who that is.
Good morning, Mr. Temple.
Mrs. Portland. Is anything the matter?
Yes, I've got to see you. I've got to see you now, this minute, before it's too late.
What's happened?
I want to tell you why Moira committed suicide. I want you to know what she told me yesterday afternoon. I want to tell you about Madison.
That was the seventh episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Madison Mystery, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Emma Curry, Richard Greenwood, Robin Lang, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.